Hello everyone and welcome back to the Yoga Healer Business Course. I just want to do a brief sound check. Can you press 1 if you can hear me? Okay, great. Thanks so much. All right. So I want to make a lot of space today to do laser coaching. And so if you want to get in the queue for that, please press 1 now. And while we're kind of getting settled here together, take out a piece of paper and a pen, and we're going to do what's called a Venn diagram, where V-E-N-N, and it's a diagram with three intersecting circles. So I'd like you to start with one circle, and in that circle you can write your passions. And I'd like you to think of your passions really in terms of the ones that just keep showing up again and again in your life over time, like these themes of your own personal story, your own life, your deeper, like what you keep noticing. You just have these reoccurring like bursts of, you know, of passion around. In regards, you know, in keeping this, you know, in regards to who you are as a person, but also in regards to your career. And just take a moment to sink into that. And some of us feel passion more in a quiet way, and some of us feel it more in a loud way. So however you feel passion, what you really get behind. And you might notice too that there's some passions that like you might write down and you might think, you know, I'm really not that passionate about that anymore. Like I'm kind of at the end of that. So just kind of note that as well. Like what now, and I said two parts, like we look for reoccurring themes and then also look like what's ripe now. What are you getting super passionate about now? And so that's your passion circle. And now what I want you to do is draw another circle slightly above that circle and to the left that intersects this circle. It doesn't cover it all up, but definitely has a good intersecting region, maybe a one-third intersecting region. So we've got two circles now. We've got the passion circle, and then we've got another intersecting circle. And this other intersecting circle is right, the word gifts. So these are your gifts. What you're naturally good at, what you're natural at. I was talking to a woman yesterday who is, she's an exotic dancer, and she's in her mid-20s, and she has very low self-esteem, and we were doing a one-on-one wellness consultation, and she has a lot of inflammation in her body, and at the core, what I could see is like, where's the inflammation coming from? It's coming from just this frustration with who she is, and so we looked at her career as an exotic dancer, and I'm like, there's gifts in there, like, 'cause she's good at it. She makes it. Ton of money as an exotic dancer, you know, especially compared to her peers and her 20s. And what we've kind of figured out too is like she's really good at listening to other people and paying attention to other people in a way that the other person feels good about themselves. And that's a gift. So often there's these things about ourselves that we're good at, and we just this is the thing about gifts. We take them for granted for the most part. When we learn how to leverage our gifts, that's a whole other story. So look at the gifts that you take for granted and also the ones that you have leveraged. Some of these gifts you might want to use more than others. You might feel more passionate about now. So there's going to be some places where the passion and the gifts, there's more intersection there. And you can start to put those more in that intersecting place, even if you just draw a line from where you wrote it to that intersecting circle between passion and gifts, that there's some overlap. In there's some gifts that you're passionate about, and there's some passion behind some of your gifts. And this is something. This Venn diagram is obviously it's a work in progress, and it's useful to look at and pay attention to from time to time. So now you're going to draw a third circle that intersects the other two circles. And this is the contribution circle. And so one of the ways that I tap into the contribution is I take a deathbed perspective. And I don't take it as in like if I were to die tomorrow perspective, but it's more of like if I'm 100, I look back, and right now I'm 40. And I look back and I really tap into the 100-year-old looking at the 40-year-old and saying, like, what did you do? Like, what did you do with all those gifts and passion? Like, what did you contribute? And looking and asking the 40-year-old, like, you know, what do you really want to contribute now? What can you really contribute now? And just letting that 40-year-old and that 100-year-old self, these two different ages of the self, have this conversation about the deeper meaning of what a life is and what is possible. And then write down some key components to your contribution, what you want your contribution to be in this lifetime. And many of you have already made a significant contribution. And to acknowledge that, because part of acknowledging that is you're acknowledging your some of your gifts in there. There's going to be some intersection, and there's maybe some passion too, some things that you've done because you were really passionate about and they came about with work, but also they came about because of some of your natural gifts. So pay attention to both what you have contributed and what you want to contribute more of in the future. And you may notice that some things really extend outside of thinking about your business, but more in bigger picture of your life. Like perhaps you've really helped family members, or you've raised children, or you've helped your aging parents pass. And it all matters, you know. It's not, we're not just singling out, we're really looking very broadly. Because often in those broader visions, we can also understand our gifts and what we're naturally pulled towards in terms of impact. And you can also just ask yourself, what's the contribution I want to make in this next cycle of time? So we had a pretty big conversation between how your old, ever old you are now and your 100-year-old self. And now we just want to zone in to like this next cycle. Let's break it down, you know, like bite-sized chunk. What do I want to contribute in this next cycle? And then again, see where there's the overlap. There'll be some overlap between contribution and gifts. And some of them might feel like there's not much passion behind it, like you had to do it, if you're good at it, or situation demanded that of you, it's the right thing to do, but you're not really passionate about it. So notice what's in that category. And then notice also what's in the category of where contribution overlies passion. Contributions that, like, gosh, I like, for instance, what comes up for me is like, I wish I could write a book about this. Like, I'd love to contribute a book, but like when I look at it, like my gift really isn't in writing a book, not necessarily right now. So that just feels like, oh, that's just too hard. There's not enough of a gifting in a certain area. So you want to be aware of that too, where some of the contribution and passion overlie, but don't really intersect what you're naturally gifted at. And yes, you could learn it, but it might be like pushing a rock up a mountain. And then look for the intersect between all three, between the passion that's innate and innately present in you, and your gifts that come easily and that you like to use, and then your contribution that you want to make in this next cycle. And that's the dynamic energy is where the trilogy of the forces come into a force field. And then in this, just feel into this force field. And you might even just like circle like three things that just are kind of resonant. You see them in all three lists, in all three circles, and just see where things are coming together. And then I just invite you to write about that for a moment. Write about that dynamic vortex. Thank you. And that's the exercise. So that's a Venn. That's a Venn diagram. We can use Venn diagrams in other ways. We'll do them on more calls in January, more regarding projects. But I hope this is inspiring and taps you a little bit more into your insight. Because my sense with doing processes such as this one is that it can help us really also get clear on what we're truly offering our clients. And many of you are in the process of designing more of a signature system or a higher end transformational program. And it's good to know what you are offering. You know, what naturally you want to contribute, what gifts you're utilizing, and what you're really passionate about. Because it's in such an easy way to really leverage what you can deliver, what kind of experience someone can have with you. So I'd love to do some laser coaching. I'd also love to talk if anyone had insight or questions or comments about this Venn diagram process, press 1. And I see, Jamie, you've got your hand up. So Jamie Clark, hi. Are you there? I can't hear you. Okay. So if anyone else, we have 11 people besides me here. So I'd love to hear from some of you. And it doesn't have to do with what we just did as far as that exercise. It can have to do with anything. Just press 1. So whatever's going on in your business. Another thing I wanted to talk about today, but I want to wait before I totally switch gears off the Venn diagram. So if anyone has any questions, comments, wants to focus in on their Venn, press 1. Matt. Hi, Matt. Star, Vermont. How are you?
Good. Beautiful sunny day.
Hmm.
And I came in just a little bit late and then had a blank out on the call for a while. So I kind of missed the crux of what you were talking about with your Venn diagram, but it was really interesting. What I could gather. So, and I don't want you to redo what you just did necessarily, but I had some kind of glitch here, so I couldn't really.
The audio spaced out.
Yeah.
Did anyone else have that? Did anyone else have the audio spaced out? Press 5 if the audio was not clear. I just need to know. I hope not. Okay, I'm not seeing 5. I am thinking five.
Well, I came back in, and we were into the vortex, and I was like, oh, man, I'm, you know. So, anyway, I assume this call can be recorded, but I didn't, you know, I got the contributions part, but I think it was the beginning where you're looking back, you're looking back at your 40-year-old self at 100.
Yeah.
I don't know what preceded that, and it left me kind of unable to, you know, sort of follow the exercise, but I can get that off a recording. But it's great to be able to reflect and write a little bit and think about what you want to be happening, what you want your life to be. And, you know, I love these kind of little exercises. They really, as an old elementary school teacher, you know, Venn diagrams are really helpful tools in a lot of ways, because we can see where things intersect and how they overlap and how one informs the other, and et cetera. So anyway, I want to, you know, go back and listen to that part of the call again, and thanks for bringing it forth in that way. I don't think we need to talk about my business. It's the same old story. I'm trying to do a lot, but
okay.
I take too much time on these calls with that stuff, so I'm just laid back with it right now.
Yeah. So the 3 were passion, gifts, and contribution, and then the dynamic vortex is just noticing what, you know, like you said, like what's intersecting and how we can really see that as part of what we're offering people in the transformational process of working with us. And also to see like what's changing, because one of the things that I notice a lot with my business is I can look back and be like, wow, I'm good at this and I'm good at that, but what I'm really psyched on is this, and that ties into my contribution. And that's kind of how it boils down for me, and then I can also see what the next, I can basically start to get insights into the next phase of what's emerging. But yeah, hopefully, if it's not recorded well, I'll re-record it, because it is a good little, it's a good little exercise. So thanks for piping up, and I'm going to bring in Susan next. So Susan Gillette, hi.
Hi, Kate.
How's it going?
Can you hear me? Good.
I can hear
good.
You. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to reflect on this process that we just did, because when I was listing my gifts, they turn into things like, you know, listening to others, acknowledging them, paying attention, being intuitive, being grounded for people, things like that that are very one-on-one based. And I realized that what I want to contribute is to have greater impact and have impact in a larger community. But I realized that the two might be at odds, and that's probably why I'm having some trouble just really, I'm working on writing blogs and trying to get them done, you know, at least two a week. But I think that might be part of the problem, is that I feel like my gift is really about the one-on-one part. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. It does totally make sense. And I'm also sensing that, like, that there's a way to do this in groups. And I'm saying that because I've witnessed it. I've also been a participant in this. And it's an emerging, I'd say it's like an emerging skill. It's an emerging skill in evolutionary culture. So what that means to me is in groups of people that are highly conscious and that are coming together in a highly conscious way, and they're aware that they're coming together in a highly conscious way, and they're coming together to experiment, one of the baseline skills is deeper listening.
Uh-huh.
And there's rules around the group dynamics. So there's like there's shared agreements before, and some of them might, you know, I think eventually become explicit, complicit, just naturally arising. But initially they're explicit. So they're like, it's kind of like, here, sign the contract. Okay, you can have this conversation. And this is something we use in like yoga health coaching. We use these contracts with our groups, so that each member of the group has signed a contract to be in the group, so that a process of deeper listening and listening with the deepest parts of ourselves can start to happen, not just in a one-on-one context, but can start to happen in a group context. And when this happens, there's so much, there's a dynamic evolution of the whole. So instead of needing to a lot of us have, I think, a perspective that self-growth, like growth happens through our self-development, and it happens through what we're doing more, you know, with ourselves, with our choices, or with a coach, or more with one-on-one. And what this is saying is, like, if we're super aware that we're in this group and that we're part of this group, that as the group evolves, we'll naturally evolve, and that evolution that can happen within that group is so much greater than we could ever experience without it. And so this is why in evolutionary culture, these skills that you just listed are such a baseline of the group being able to do what it's trying to do, which is see where consciousness can go when we're, you know, entering like a super consciousness together. So the reason I unpack all that is that if we now take this into the realm of evolving healthcare, right, this we'll see this as a skill set that more and more practitioners are going to wake up to. We're just at the very leading edge of this. And I think we could probably find historical examples as well of like other, you know, where this has been going on in tiny pockets here and there over the last, you know, I don't know how many years. I'm sure there were pockets in the Renaissance of people doing this. I think there are, you know, like I think we can historically find pockets of this. happening. But now we have the option of being like, wow, we can really, like, groups are actually doing, you know, there's metrics on this stuff now. Like, we can see that this is just part of what really is working, and not just in terms of spiritual evolution, but also in terms of, like, all evolving all parts of the self.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to ask you is, like, is there a way then, because if you have some passion around working with groups, and is there a way for you to run a pilot mastermind group where, it, you know, where part of it is that they're going to experience the support of a group, and this is a big part, you guys, is accountability. Most of us want accountability from a group, and we want reflection from a group of, like, this is where you were and this is where you are now. Because we can't, often we do not, I mean, I know I don't see it for myself, so I don't assume anybody else sees it for themselves. And that's another thing that a group can offer. Is there what do you think about that, about building a mastermind group, you know, maybe of women in your target niche who really want similar things? And that this,
yeah,
these are just some of the skills that they need in that group.
That makes sense to me. I guess what I was, you know, what I'm really wondering about is, what is the role of a blogger in this evolutionary culture where it's just putting out, putting out, putting out, where really you're talking about, you know, receiving and listening. So, you know what I mean? Like, maybe I've gone off on the wrong tack for what my gifts really are.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, the role of a blogger, to me, that it's a dynamic, deep listening conversation. So, say a client asks you, say a patient asks you a question, and you're like, gosh, I've answered this question honestly like 4 times this week or like 4 times this month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that is a conversation that's happening.
Yeah.
And so then you just answer that question in the next blog post, and maybe you just do a video, you know, too. If you're like, if you're finding this is taking a lot of time, you can even ask the person, like, you know, and I did this all the time. Like, I did a free talk the other day, and someone in my Living Ayurveda course, who's a yoga teacher, she's like, she emailed me. She's like, I have a question. I'm like, great. Can we make it public? Can we do a quick video? And on Google Hangouts, you can record a conversation and send it directly to a YouTube channel. Then from YouTube, you just copy the iframe of the video, which is the code where it says, you know, if you want to share it, you click share, embed, and then there's an iframe that'll pop up. You choose which size. You take that code and you just put it into the text part of the WordPress page.
Okay.
Sorry, post or page, whichever you want to put it in. But if you're doing it as a blog, it would be a post. And now, so you just ask that, you know, and you just, I mean, you can use your iPhone. you can just have, you know, whatever. You can just, like, put, there's little things that you can make your iPhone into a video camera stand. They're like these little cheap $5 attachments, right? So you just put your little iPhone on. You record, because chances are she'll be like, yeah, sure. And you can just say, you know, a lot of people have this question. Or she might say no, and then you just, whatever. Someone else will say yes. And you can give her something in exchange, too, if you want. And if this feels like it's not right, then find a way that does feel right. And it's probably not part of a consultation. You know what I mean? It's part of something that's outside of that. And, you know, or you just do it yourself. Like, I've been asked this question 4 times this week. And here's the, you know, and then that becomes your blog. You can find someone to, you know, to script it out. So there's lots of transcription services out there, very, very inexpensive, on Odesk or on Elancer, where someone just basically then maybe takes it from YouTube, transcribes it, puts it in your blog post, and now you're done, you know, and that only took you, you know, 15 minutes of just recording, uploading, and then sending an email to the person with the YouTube link and the, you know, and you can even tell them, make the blog post, transcribe it, put it in there. Someone might have you know, it's not a far reach for someone to have all those skills. I can, someone on my team has all those skills for $7 an hour, and she's awesome. So, if you're finding yourself like, gosh, this is just taking too much time. See, because then what happens is you're growing your email list, mm-hmm. and now each week you have the Q&A with Susan, with Dr. Susan.
Yeah.
Right? And then, this is the question of the week. And then you can say, who wants to ask a question of the week? And then, and to say, we'll do it live online. And you can, and we'll video it. And you'll ask your question and I'll answer it. And now you're creating this community.
That sounds more appealing.
Good. It's got to be fun. There's some parts aren't fun. Like someone who's helping me with Facebook ads, this morning she emailed me. She's like, where's your privacy policy? I'm like, I don't think we have one. So it was not fun, but it took me honestly 5 minutes to cut and paste the privacy policy off a Better Business Bureau site and plug in the Yoga Healer data, put it up as a web page, and email her the new web page that's the privacy policy so that we can do Facebook ads. So some stuff isn't fun, but the stuff that we want to build as the cornerstone of the conversation between us and our community that we're growing around our business, it's got to be fun. It's got to be something that we enjoy. Mm-hmm. And that might be a trial and error. Like you tried vlogging one way and now you're like, oh, I'm going to try vlogging. Everything you've done is good. It'll help someone who is looking for, is looking for you in your area be more likely to find you.
Okay. And what you're thinking is, or what you're suggesting perhaps is that that this community also becomes a mastermind group?
Well, there's the greater community. Yeah, there's the greater community around, your business, and that's your list, mm-hmm. your email list. So tell me too now, which site are you blogging on? Is it the CrocusHillAcupuncture.com?
Well, here's the funny thing about it is that I decided to set up a separate blog site because I thought that it would be useful to have a separate website that was just going to be my online presence.
Okay, and what's that site?
Well, I haven't actually built it yet because my Crocus Hill site was hacked about a month ago, and it's taken a lot of time to get that back up. So I was just
sorry to hear that.
I know, it was such a drag. Anyway, so that's the plan for January, is to get this online business website separate from Crocus Hill and just have it up and going at that point.
And the reason you want it separate is because there's multiple practitioners.
Right.
Do you own Crocus Hill?
I do.
Or is it a group? You own it.
No, I'm the owner, and the other people are part-time practitioners.
Okay, so I want to think this through with you, because why do you want to separate it?
Well, there were a couple of reasons. One is I thought that from some various things that you'd said, that it would be better to have my name as the site rather than sort of an anonymous Crocus Hill site. And then also to separate it so that I could develop it in ways without any other, restrictions on it. Like it wouldn't have to be just on Oriental medicine.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, there's some things that I'm like, don't want to see people make too much work for themselves. You can always redirect your name to this site. So you can always have, SusanGillette.com can just be a redirect to Crocus Hill Medicine. Crocus Hill Acupuncture. But I guess how much crossover... See, when people come to Crocus Hill, we still want them to do things like opt into your list and get on your Susan Gillette list.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like, gosh, how much are you going to be reinventing the wheel? The other practitioners, are they, okay, so let me ask you this. Like, someone Googles acupuncture St. Paul.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
And what I'm wondering is, like, how much are the other acupuncturists get up? This is awesome. You come up the second.
Oh, we used to come up
part
first.
Of the reason you're behind Point Clinic.
Oh, okay.
But this is where, like, okay, Google's already recognizing you. You're already coming up. So I mean, if you built out blog content, you'd come up number one on this site.
Uh-huh. I see your point. So I could start it with just putting up blogs on this site and then move it over.
You can always move them later.
Yeah,
why don't you do a site? I mean, if you put the time and money into a site redesign on this thing, and
yeah, go ahead.
Just made it a little bit more. I was gonna say hip and groovy, but I'm like, I know people aren't always want hip and groovy, but just like, even if you go to Point Clinic, who will just say is like your competitor right now. So pointclinic.com, you see how clean it is and how it just has a more modern look and feel?
Mm. All right, I'm not there yet.
Oh, okay. It's just a more updated theme. See, this is the thing, you guys, websites, on, like I say, like it's almost, it used to be like every 2 years. Now it's about, it's really, I hate to say it, but it's like every 18 months. That
really
a website, yeah, it sucks, but it's true. So, but what I also wanted to talk about today with websites is like I just got a new website done for with a whole content protected section for members only for $1,000. So even though it has to be redone every 18 months, the cost is going down and down and down. Like the last time I did a site redesign, it cost me $3,000, and that was 18 months ago. So it costs less and less. If you're using the sort of the outsourcing to, Asia or Eastern Europe, if you're using that approach, like if you're going with a local designer and a lot of coding, sure, you can easily spend, $3, $5, $10 grand, even $20 grand on a website. But no one here, I mean, if I don't need to spend more than $1,000 on a website and I have, and I'm really leveraging it for income, I don't think anyone else in this course, I can't think of anyone else in this course who would need to spend more than that. So using, just poke around through different themes, like Genesis has themes. I like Elegant themes. I like Woo themes. There's so many themes out there that are great. And if you just look at like what's really going to have the look and feel I want to portray, and then you find someone who can plug your content from your existing site into a different theme, and that, again, like I use Odesk or Elancer. There's a number of companies out there, but in a way, too, you might be looking for the person who can do that, and you might be looking for also the virtual assistant who can deal with your content, on a contract as needed basis to, take your video and, that you've up, maybe it's, you went from Google Talk to YouTube, like I said, which is like a click of a button, Google Hangout to YouTube, and then they transcribe it, put it into a blog post, and publish it, and email your list or whatever. That, oh, look, I have this new thing up. So there's a way of like looking at the whole picture of that. Okay, did you get to Point Clinic?
I did, and I see what you mean about being a little bit cleaner. Hip and groovy, I don't know about, but cleaner.
Yeah, no, I don't like hip and groovy. It's just cleaner. There's more white space. It's just more updated. But even this, like there's nothing about, I'm just going to be blunt, okay? There's nothing about either of your sites that is like, oh, my gosh, I really feel the person behind this place.
Yeah. Although,
right? And this is
because Point Clinic is one person, you do get her face right away. Right?
That's okay. Yep. Yep. But I don't get a, like, hi, this is me. Here's a video of me. Like, let me show you around the place and tell you how I can help you. Like, I don't, like, I honestly, okay, there's the little picture about the acupuncturist. Like, I honestly thought that was a stock photo when I first looked at it.
Yeah. It probably is.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know. Oh, no, it probably is. It is probably Hung Ji Lee Bessler. But I don't, like, she should be up in that. All those images up top, those are all stock. They look stock. I don't know if they are stock, but they look stock.
Yeah.
And this is where, for so many of us, we want clean and clear and transparent. We don't want stock.
Right.
Because if you land on a site and there's stock, like, all of a sudden there's disconnect. It's like, who's the person behind the site? Because when someone lands there, like, they're like, I have problems, and I'm looking for someone to solve my body problems or my mental problems. You know, like, people come, they're searching for an acupuncturist. They're, you know, it's different than looking for a place to go vacation. You know, they're looking for help.
Right.
So what you
want
to be saying is, like, send me an email right now and tell me what's going on, and I'll tell you if I can help you, or something like that, you know. And that there's a little, you know, that in those, in that top image, there's you. Maybe it's a video, or maybe it's an opt-in. And that's something, like, your opt-in, as far as the opt-in being above the fold, meaning in that first part of the site that you see, without scrolling anywhere, that's really what you want. And what that might just be for you is where it says Crocus Hill Oriental Medicine. I mean, this is the thing with the header is prime real estate. Site that's optimized, you're gonna almost always have an opt-in in the header, because you're gonna, because people's because it's at the top. Like, people's eyes will gravitate there, and if someone can opt in and say all they're opting in with for is, I really like this idea of your Q&A. You know, your Q&A videos. It's nice, because your question was like, go ahead.
That would be in the header, you think?
Well, I would say that would be a good part on the opt-in of your header. So, like, say we just minimized your graphic and got your head up there, and then had an opt-in up there and the navigation bar. I'm looking for a site that does this, because they're out there, and I'll post it. I'll post it right on the. Yeah, let me find one. Okay, I'm going to just put this. This guy just had a site redesign, so if you guys are on, if you're in the business course, so I'm just going to start a little thread on Facebook for I'm just going to write website coaching reference.
That'd be great. Yeah.
So this one, go to smartpassiveincome.com. And he just announced, and on his blog you'll see this whole thing on his site redesign. He spent a lot of money. You don't need to. You can learn a lot from what he said from this. But what I want you to see there, so smartpassiveincome.com, this is Pat Flynn. He's awesome. He's everywhere. He's got this blog, this podcast, and he makes all of his money off of his website. So he just does affiliate marketing. Like, so you click on stuff on his website and he gets paid. But you see how personal it is? Like, he's just like, I'm just this guy. He's like this little cool guy. Then if you click on, like, get started here, you know, he's kind of telling you what's going on, you know, what to expect, blah, 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 his free ebook. But it's really, what I wanted you to see about this is this guy is like, in a sea of passive income blogging. Like, it is such a competitive online industry. It's insane. If you click on the blog, there's him and his 3-year-old. And he's like, I'm not a millionaire, but I'm living off my passive income. So if you look up top, there's his monthly innings. That's what he wants you to know, is that, like, this is how much money I made this month by having my blog. I made $55,000 this month. If you click there to see the breakdown, he's renowned for that. His audience wants to know that stuff. They're tech geeks. But what I want you to see on this is, even though he's like, he's a tech geek, and you can see how personable he's trying to be. Like, here you are talking to people, deeply listening to people, and putting needles in their body.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you want even more of this, like, I'm a real person, and I'm accessible, and, right? And, like, this is what, like, that top thing, that last month's earnings, that's what he's showing. That's what he does for people, is he shows them how to make money like that. What you do for people is how you help people. So for your opt-in to be something like, you know, listen to the Q&A with, you know, listen to my Q&A with my patients, or something like that, you know, and they and then they put their email in right there to listen to that, and then they get a direct access into your newsletter and that whole community. And so, you know, we often will say, like, you know, join my email community. People feel like they're part of too many things, so most people won't do that. But if it's enticing to them, and you might talk to some of your patients and be like, what, you know, what would be enticing for you, for me to talk about? Or even just noticing what they're already asking you questions about. Is your average client, I can't remember, I think we talked before, though, about, like, women between 35 and 55. Is that right?
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, I would even just, I mean, you can decide, or you can tell me, like, does it seem like it's too narrow to do your free offer specifically to them? Or does that feel good?
No, that would be about right. I guess what I'm seeing on this other site is just, and maybe what I've steered away from and thought about having a separate site for was because of the one person, whereas, you know, the Crocodile site is for the clinic. But I think what you're saying is that I can still be the main face of the clinic, even if I'm trying to help other people build their businesses.
I know, it's tricky, and I get why it's like, oh my goodness, how do I do this? I just want to go, so here, if you go next to lifespa.com.
Life what?
This is Lifespa, S-P-A.
Uh-huh.
This is Dr. John Douyard's site. He has a clinic.
Okay.
But you see, I want you to see his header.
Yeah.
He's done exactly what I mentioned with, it's all right there, right? There's him.
Right.
There's the opt-in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the logo. And he even has his phone number and social media on top. I personally think it's like crazy busy. I don't resonate with this site at all. I love his content, but I don't like his layout. It's totally working for him.
Yeah, it looks more commercial than helpful to me.
Totally commercial. It's whatever it is. He's amazing. But what I want you to know is he has other practitioners working at his clinic.
Uh-huh. I gotcha. But
so
I,
even
yeah,
when
I'm
you
seeing that.
And when you click on services, I'm gonna click on services and then go to Ayurvedic Consults.
Mm-hmm.
There's him. And then there's this gal, who Tanya, who also works for him.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So it's not keeping him back.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of, like, I don't want to say free video newsletter for you, because people are over newsletters, but I think it's like Q&A with my clients, or Q&As with my patients, you know?
Yeah.
And he's got linking ancient wisdom and modern science, and you might say, like, something about, like, real women with, you know, real lives getting real with their health or something like that, you know, like something that just resonates. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like out of reach or cheesy or like it's someone beyond where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that you seem really accessible.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that sounds good.
Good. Yeah, that's my new theme. You're going to look for a new theme. You're going to look for a cheap VA to deal with this. And then just like big vision to 2014, you know, like where you're going in the next year with all this. And then you're just going to, like the way that I rearrange content, I just use a very simple graphics program. I use Pages on a Mac if you're on a PC. You know, I think I used to use Publisher. There's probably better software now out there. There's probably free software to design websites online where you just like can grab sections and cut and paste. That's what I do. And so my text is right in it. I save it as a PDF and I send it to the web designer with the theme I want and access to my website. And it's pretty, you know, some of this stuff in the beginning, it takes a while. But the thing is, you guys, if you get that, if you have a website, if you're, you know, always going to have a website for your business, which I kind of think you need to do, and if it's always going to need to be updated, you know, frequently, it's good to know, it's good to just get these relationships started. Because now I have relationships with tech people that I can just be like we're going to redesign the Yoga Healer site. It's probably going to cost, this isn't a new site, like yours is a redesign too. It's probably only going to cost me like $500. Something like that. And we have all the relationships. The guy's got the passwords into every, he knows how my site runs better than I do. And he's totally trustworthy. So it's like just kind of getting to that's part of what you're establishing is a way of not just redesigning your site, but relationships that'll make it very easy for you to update it in the future. And also relationships to help you very quickly and that, you know, more passionate, fun way for you to get the conversation rolling between you and your community via vlogging, the video blogging, in a way that's like not taking very much of your time.
Yeah. It's all good.
Good?
Thanks for the input, Kate.
My pleasure, Dr. Susan. Let me know if you have questions along the way. Just put them on Facebook, and we'll go from there. I'm sure this is very helpful for many, many a listener.
I hope so.
All right. And so if anyone else has, you know, what's going on, press 1. Again, there's lots of us here, but nobody has their hand raised. So it's a really good opportunity to talk to me one-on-one about what's going on, give me an update, or do some laser coaching troubleshooting. Really? Nobody? This has never happened. Okay, Sally Webster, how's it going?
Well, if nobody else will speak, then I guess it's my turn.
Then it's your turn.
All right. I'm just wondering, you can hear me all right?
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to introduce myself to the group. My name is Sally, and I have a little bit different perspective. I work with my husband's business, and yet I'm really interested in this sort of thing. So it will probably be applied very differently. But anyway, and I've just picked up very recently, as in probably 2 calls ago. So that's where I'm at. But given that, what I've realized is that my nature, I'm sort of like that. Although I wish I were more of a dancer. I'm like that person that you described at the beginning of the call. taking somebody through a transformation is not what I can do. It's a much shorter thing. On a previous call, an Ayurveda call, you talked about sort of surrounding something and then moving it out. That is more what I can do, is just really listen to people and somehow get things moving. A one-and-done kind of thing, not a series. Yes, I can do the series, but anyway, so I just wanted to update you that that's my current thinking, and so I'm providing that within the company, and then also just in terms of, you know, my passion, my gifts, my contribution, that's where I see it going. And so it was a nice victory for me to see that it's not going to be a big transformation. You know, when you get on that boat, it's going to be a pretty short trip when you return. But that's what I feel comfortable with, and I think that's my strength.
Great. That's great. So, yeah, I mean, seeing that as this is the I think there's a huge benefit to seeing, like, how much, you know, how much time do I want to spend with people? How, you know, and what's trying to happen and what amount of time? And also, I mean, one of the other things that you know, that you said about being able to listen, there's such a huge value to this. I mean, and there's only going to be more value to being able to listen deeply. And part of it is when we listen deeply, a sacred space is created. Right? And it doesn't matter where you are. If you're on a subway, if you're in on a meditation cushion, it doesn't matter. Like a field is created when there's deep listening. When there's deep listening, it creates often a field of conscious speaking, or when one is in a field of deep listening and they're not speaking consciously, it creates a lot of tension in the field. It creates tension in the person. Well, they start to feel more and more awkward. It's kind of like if something you say outside of a church versus inside of a church, it comes off really different if you say it inside the church. It's that same feeling. It like makes the speaker feel crummy. And so when we are deeply listening and creating the sacred space, it allows the speaker an opportunity to step into a deeper part of themselves. And I guess I just want to highlight that, again, this is going to be a more and more sought after experience. It's also going to just become more of a component of wellness that's just missing from a lot of people's lives. And we see it, I see it often with parenting and with kids being really busy, and then with there being a lot of distraction with screen time, with iPads and iPhones and iPods and all sorts of things, gadgets, that there's often not a very conscious sacred field created on, you know, many times a day for a person. So a lot of kids are growing up with just like too much stimulation. They're not sleeping well. There's problems. So this is, you know, becoming more and more in our culture. And so the skill of creating a time and a space to listen, and then practicing deep listening and creating a container for someone to speak into, and then even just simply reflecting back what was heard. I just want to highlight that there's tremendous value in that skill. And if that's where some of your passion is and that's where your gifts are and that's something that you feel called to contribute, I think there's an enoughness to that. And there'll be ways of just, you know, insights may come just from this conversation itself. And how to structure more of, you know, how that's showing up in the world for you, or what you do with that in the future.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I have to emphasize this concept of a group is a new thing for me, and it was a hurdle for me to say, no, I need to pick this call up real time. I'm not going to listen to it at night. It's not going to be the same. It really has to be now. It was nice to hear you recap that, because, as I say, it don't fit the profile, and yet I found these calls valuable. So,
Great. Yeah, and I mean, it also speaks to, like, you know, because you are working in a more corporate setting with your husband, of just seeing, like, where does this come in? Like, where does it help his business so much that you're the one that is more behind the scenes and deeply listening, and maybe listening between the words, and that really intuitive. And so the insights that come, you know, there's such a value to that. And it's, you know, I mean, just in, like, rudimentary terms, like the feminine versus the masculine strengths or energies, right? This is more of a feminine, like, listening is it's a feminine energy. It is by definition the feminine energy, the energy of receptivity. And being that available and open and receptive in a world that's, like, increasingly, in some ways increasingly guarded, and you know, I mean, more people are carrying guns than ever before and locking their doors at night and, you know, stuff like that. And in many, many ways and places, there's a belief system and reasons for that. But just getting that, like, people are often guarded. I mean, I even know in myself, like, if I can carry myself through the day in a less guarded way, right, there's a value to that. There's a different energetic experience from that. And so knowing that, like, that's part of what you're bringing into that business, that you're bringing in that feminine receptive energy, and then, you know, inserting the masculine, speaking up when, you know, or organizing the information that you're receiving in a way that other people can hear it, and putting that forward, that's more of the masculine energy of making something happen, of pushing an energy into the world, which is what we do when we speak. We push the vibration into the world. So it's just, it'll maybe be an interesting inquiry for you, or just a way to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. And I do have to say that I did like the little exercise about, you know, what is your monthly income? Since I do staffing, in some ways, you know, there's a dollar figure. If somebody is hired, then, you know, there's a dollar figure associated. So I did like finally getting some numbers on my work, because I like that. Thanks.
Yeah, you bet. I'm glad. Yeah, I've heard some feedback from other people in the courses from that, and it's surprising, like, just how much we often still do, like, shy away from the numbers, or we're not, like, for a lot of us, if we look at, like, our gifts and our passion, like, often it's not like, you know, I like metrics. I like to analyze numbers. I like to, you know, I like to do my taxes. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that didn't come up for anybody. Although hopefully I'm wrong. And maybe it did come up for a small percentage of us. But, you know, there is this tendency of just not doing the stuff that, again, it might not be our gift or passion, but it does need to get done for our larger contribution to take place. So, yeah, it's a really good exercise, and just to being the end of the, you know, the end of the calendar year, it's a good idea to get really clear with your numbers. And also, you know, for those of you who are noticing that, you know, you're investing more in your business, whether that's a virtual assistant, whether that's technology, like building a website, which it is an asset when you have it, but it's an expense to create it. And if you're using, you know, more technologies in general, just to look at what's your monthly overhead, you know, before you really before you can pay yourself, like what's the overhead of your business, and getting really clear on in 2013 what your income was, what your overhead was, and then get looking into 2014. How's, you know, what do you want your income to be? What's your overhead going to be given the new technologies and the sort of like the systems upgrades you need? And looking, you know, I do this and just get really clear on like what expenses can I cut? Like what's really, because there's so much great stuff out there now. There's so many great trainings. There's so much great software. There's so many great services that can really help our business. But when we streamline everything and say like, where's the income going to come in? What needs to happen for that to happen? And how can I, you know, cut the fat off? It's a great and essential exercise to do this time of year as well. Okay.
And one last good question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was surprised to hear that you kept your prospect list on the sort of paper and folder thing. Can you just tell me a little bit more about that?
What were you surprised about?
Well, that you wouldn't want to be able to pull it up anywhere, anytime, or I just,
Yeah. Okay. So when I do a sales call or a strategy, so say I do a free call and that leads to a sales call, and then I take notes on the person and I put them in a folder. Is that what you're referring
right
to?
Exactly.
And then how I follow up? Yeah. Okay. So yeah, so I have a little file system of like prospects that are, you know, that I want to follow up with, and then prospects that I talk to that I want to follow up with like much later, like in a month or two or three, and then prospects who are just not sold, like it's just not a good fit for either of us. And I keep them in physical, like I take pieces of paper and I write the person's name and the notes, and at the top I kind of have these codes that I use, like what program they're good for or not good for, what the price point is, you know, because I might make them a special offer that I'll want to remember later, et cetera. So that's all kind of coded at the top. And then at the top, too, like the top right, I put in, you know, what my next action with them is, just so that I know, like, you know, what I want to do next with them. And then I might cross that out and write something else, and if I do have another action with them. The reason I keep these on pieces of paper, there's some things in my life that are better not digital. And I've just found that, like, this is one of them. This is one thing that, like, if I look through my sales call follow-up and I just kind of, like, look through, because people, you know, I'll wake up and I'll be like, you know, I'll go for my swim or something and someone will pop into my brain and I'll just want to, like, look and see, like, right, that's someone I wanted to follow up with. And I just pull out the folder. Oh, there they are. That was the last date I talked to them. This is the price point. Does that make follow-up action? It's very easy for me to quickly send them an email. And for some reason, that's easier for me than having it all digital and opening a folder and moving people between folders. I don't know why. Everything else I do practically is digital, but this something is like real people, real conversations. And there's I often doodle when I talk to people. And even that, there's a shakti, there's an energy on those pages. And I take those sales calls very seriously, whether I can help someone or not, or just point them in a different direction. And so that's why I even keep the people that are not sold too. And often if I look down the road, like those people, you know, about half of them will like come back into the business funnel at some point. That said, I also want to say the next follow-up action I have with the person is scheduled in my digital calendar.
All right.
So I just want to say that is also, it's like, so even if I talk to someone and, like, if I look at my calendar for January, there's someone that's scheduled for me to just send an email to. This is kind of ridiculous, but this is sort of how it works. You know, like, email someone about this. You know, about this course, and that, you know, email someone else about that course, see if this person wants to enroll in this course. Those are all on specific days that I just put it right on my calendar on a date to email somebody about something. And then I just know, just the way my own little system works, go to the file, if I need to go to the file and remind myself of, you know, something personal about them and about what we talked about, what they wanted, essentially. Just to remind them, like, hey, do you really, like, you had told, you know, we had said in October we were going to follow up in January to see if you're ready to work on your business or see if you really wanted to study Ayurveda or whatever it is that they contacted me about.
Great. Now I get it. I could see how that would work and not be transportable to the computer. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, and it is. Like, I think people can, I think you can do it anyway. You can do it any way you want. I mean, for some of you guys, if you want to take it to the next level, you know, go onto Facebook and do a little screenshot of their face. Facebook doesn't let you copy the face image, but you can even, like, yeah, you can just do, like, a quick little screenshot of their face and make a Word document and drag that image. So, like, their face is at the top of the piece of paper. That's just the notes on your computer. And you have three files in your... on your desktop that are prospect calls, and one file is follow-up this month, the other is follow-up next month, and the other is not sold. And each person has a document, whether it's a Word document or a Pages document. It's got the image of their face on it. It's got all your notes on it. I mean, that system would be great. And then they're searchable on your hard drive, which to me is way more reliable than my pieces of paper folder. But, like, this is just what works for me right now. And who knows? Maybe I'll switch at some point.
Interesting. Good. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Good question. The other thing, too, that I hope you guys are hearing is even though my business at this point is it's 100% online, it's still all about the conversation. And it's still all about the relationships. Like, even if you heard, like, me and Susan talking about her website, it's all about, real conversations and real relationships with real people in the community. For any of you who are not working virtually and you're working, you know, you have a yoga studio or you're doing holistic wellness, consultations or teaching yoga classes, like, even more so, right? It's all about your face-to-face interaction and all about your communications with these people outside of class or outside of your one-on-one work, and to pay very close attention to the conversation. And for those of you who aren't in the conversation yet, you just start the conversation. You know, you start the conversation maybe on Facebook in someone else's community, and see where, you know, and really see where it goes. And then that influences what you do on your own, you know, what you do on your own site. All right, so if anyone else has I'll take one more. If anyone else wants to jump in, press one. Yeah, Anne in Massachusetts. Hello.
Hi, Kate. I just wanted to share a couple of successes. Susan was on. I heard her earlier, and I would think about 6 weeks ago I reached out to Susan if she was interested in being an accountability partner with me, because I felt the Facebook forum questions that I resonated with her her energy, and it's been great. It's been a great support. I work a lot with groups, and she works a lot one-on-one. And I don't know if she's still on the line, but hi, Susan. And, you know, another aspect to that is, you know, branching the community beyond St. Paul. You know, at some point I would love to share her Q&As on acupuncture and Eastern medicine to my community here, because those questions come up a lot. And I'm not skilled to answer them. That's not my practice. So that's been a great thing. We check in with each other twice a week, once on Sundays to set a goal for the week, and then a follow-up like Wednesday to see how it's going.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it's been just
awesome.
a great nudge, because we both experienced like tech disasters in the last month. Her site got hacked,
oh.
And my PC crashed the week before Thanksgiving, and I lost 3/4 of my files.
Oh, no. You guys,
yeah.
Everyone needs an external hard drive. Everybody, if you don't have one right now, buy an external hard drive or buy, software that you're uploading to a cloud automatically without you doing anything, that your computer automatically does it. I personally like to have, I have multiple external hard drives. It's crucial that you have a, you basically have everything on your computer, including your software, copied to an external site, because then all you need to do is plug in another machine and you're up and running in like a day if anything were to happen. So thanks for bringing that up, because like until it happens often, we're like, oh, why didn't I spend $100 on a whatever? Like I have a, what is it, a 4TB, a 4TB digital hard drive. It's way bigger than most of you need. Most of you need a 1 to 2 TB digital hard drive. It's going to cost you $150 on Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, it can be at your house in 24 hours. If you're on a Mac, use Time Machine. Just have it updated automatically so you don't do anything. You just plug the cord in. And if you're on a PC, just figure out what that their version of that is. Sorry, I don't know it. But, yeah, and I'm sorry because I know how much that sucks.
Well, it was not good, but it taught me, like, wow, this whole thing about attachment, right? I had to really kind of scan and think of, I have 10 years of work on there, a lot of work. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, it brought me totally into the present because I had to really start from scratch on a lot of things. I also, just a caution to folks listening, I had stuff loaded on a external hard drive, and that failed as well. So it was a faulty memory disk wasn't transferring the files. So the IT guy's trying to get some of that back. He got about a third of it back, the recent third, but like the really older files of programs I've done in workshops for the past decade, or who knows. I have paper copies somewhere, but anyway, it's the cloud for me now. I know, it was just something about being grateful before Thanksgiving and giving thanks, and so what can I learn from this? And on the upswing, I contracted with a web designer who's in the process of tweaking my site, openinglotusyoga.com. She's going to edit it and get a separate link to the Vibrant Health course immersions that I'm offering. So we'll clean that up, and hopefully that's up and running in the next few weeks. And the success was, while the PC was down for 2 weeks, it gave me a lot of time to really work on my signature program, which was the initial offering with Spiritual Reboot. So I have had that outlined and framed, and I just about a week ago posted it on the website, and just last week did a little bit of cording on it in the in-house community, two different classes, a 10-minute introduction to the conversation about going deeper and spiritual alignment, and I just got this email last night that three people enrolled, and it doesn't start till February. So I was like, you know, technology sucks when it doesn't work, but that email was so great to get. So it's been quite a contrast, you know, like the creative juices are always there, and then the learning how to go with the flow with the tech up and down, the necessity, and then the challenges, and it's forced me to kind of my learning curve on it quickly. So that's my... I'm really pleased with, I would encourage anybody, the accountability partner. It's been great for me to get Susan's feedback. She did mention her listening skills, and I would say kudos to her listening skills. She's got great listening skills. And I hope I was able to give her some feedback on other ideas of how to reach out to groups via online, because I see a great potential there. I see that in the studio of you know, subtle energy work, education. And then the signature program that I'm framing it, I just have the initial outlines, but this 7-week session that starts in February, it's to funnel into a 3-month offering after that to go deeper to intuitive guidance, and then eventually a 7-month mastery course that I hope to get up and open in studio next fall. So having the studio has been a great way to pilot it and get the feedback from the students. The fall offerings I did were really well received. And it's just, it's you've mentioned it many times, like listen to what your ideal client, your students want. What, in their words, what are they longing for? And that's what I'm really focusing on now, really getting clear about the language. So I'm grateful for all the resources you've put out, the connections on the forum, the Facebook forum. I think it's a great tool. And just excited to go forward and get my tech armor back up.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad, and I just want to say too, like, I'm thankful for you and your presence on the forum. It's been great, and you've been really helpful for other people. And it's a good it's a good resource, you guys, to use each other and to use me, and to get that conversation even more helpful for you. So one other thing I want to say is, like, that's the whole thing, you guys, about free content. It's like, if say Susan does her acupuncture Q&A and that stuff's great, and say Matt does his stuff for people with Hep C and puts out great content with that, and it's like we will naturally share each other's stuff because it'll be good. It'll be coming out of real conversations. It'll be providing really useful answers to people's questions, or even fun, humorous stuff that makes light of situations that need to be made light of, like when your hard drive crashes or whatnot. But having a long-term vision of, like, how can I create a useful conversation on the web as part of helping people get to know me and like me and trust me and see if it's a good fit for the larger work that that I'm able to do with them. It's just a really good, it's a good idea. When I look at, you know, some of the more successful small entrepreneurs out there, they have very well-formed and tight mesh networks. And a lot of them say, it's like, oh, well, I met this person in this group, and I got to know her work, and it was something I naturally wanted to share. And that's what starts to, happen. That's kind of how the whole thing, works. So, great. I'm glad to hear it's working, Anne.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you bet. So which is the course that starts in February? Is that the Vibrant Health course?
This is, it's under that umbrella, but this is called Spiritual Reboot, Reclaiming Intuitive Center. So it's really just, and I think the promo I put on it resonated that it's really not a basic course. It's diving deep in a dedicated time for folks who are ready. They know what the challenges they have energetically, and they're ready to go deeper and do the work, do the energy work, do the meditation, do the support building within the community of the class. So it's 7 weeks, starts February 10th. The price point, this is a stretch because I'm going from being a 90% frontline teacher to developing these, for me, higher price offerings. And this is where, when I put $375 as the price, and because I do feel like I'm gaining so much and learning and refining it, and the next time I offer it, that probably will go up as I refine it more. But the receptivity, I'm learning that price point is not a hurdle for me anymore. It used to be like, oh my God, how can I charge that, but then I've really been, spending more time to get clear about the value that I bring and what that brings to people's lives. So that's getting more integrated as I go. So that's exciting.
Good. Yeah. And, you guys, the thing about raising your price point is you just often have to change how people enroll. So, for instance, like on your site, say you decide you want 10 people to register for this, and say the early bird's $375 and the real price is $500, and that when you do this again, it's going to be $1,000. There's nothing to really keep you from doing that except for how you enroll people and the perceived value. Because if it is $1,000, you'll deliver what's worth $1,000. Like, I've no doubt about that. So it's often just in the process. Like, it's different than, it's kind of like I was talking about in my call, in that Make More Money in 2014 call for yoga teachers and holistic providers, which, if anyone wants to share that with anyone, it's at yogahealer.com/money. it's just a question of how people come in and what you do with them when they come in. So even on your site now, again, I would have more, you know, more of you guys, more of you particularly there. And I, and then somewhere it's like, you gotta be saying like, this is like, there's an opportunity to go deep. And maybe it's just a, you know, and maybe it's a session where with you where you do have a sales strategy session where you talk to them about what it is that they really deeply want. And if it's a good fit, that you do make them an offer to be part of this pilot group and it's $375. Because you'll learn a lot in that, and it'll help structure what happens in the group because people will be coming in through such a more deeply escorted process into your group. So that's next
goal for me, because I actually, before I enjoyed your money workshop and listened to that on Monday, and I had done these courting 10-minute soft intros to the winter schedule, which starts in a few weeks. But with two particular classes, I really spent less than 10 minutes just to give, you know, a really brief overview invitation and then followed it up with opportunities for folks to meet with me January 6th after the holidays, after class, if they're interested in continuing conversation. And I was so comfortable with that approach. I think that in part is what contributed to this three people signing up without even going to the deeper conversation. My total skill ease, and I didn't even go in thinking I'm doing a sales pitch. I was just really excited about this course, and I knew that the class I chose to talk to really had the folks in it that had the potential to make that decision, step up and step in, as I like to say. So
great. And, you know, what you might also find is that you don't even have to make, like, you can make a pitch just to the strategy session and not even to the workshop. So you don't even have to tell them anything about that. It can just be that, you know, you have X amount of time, you know, if people are really looking to resolve some issues or listen more deeply or discover more of, like, an intuitive relationship with themselves, like, and they want to talk about it after class, that you make room for that. And then that offer, you can, you know, after deeply listening to someone, if you think, you know, hey, I can help you with that, would you like to hear what I have to offer? And they may say yes or no. I mean, 99.9% of them will say yes, just because of reciprocation, the law of reciprocation. And you could just lay out the offer really, you know, point blank, like, I have a pilot group, and it's at a special price because it's a pilot group, and it's limited to 10, you know. Say you're taking 10 people. Say you know they'll all be women. It's limited to 10 women. You know, anytime you create exclusivity, it goes up. It's limited to 10 women between the ages of 40 and 55, you know, or whatever it is, who are all going through a life transition and who really want to be part of a sacred group. It's really specific, you know, and either that, because that's what you want to create. If that is, you know, and you're going to find better words than I just did. But then someone's going to say, like, tell me more. And you can just say, like, do you want to hear more? Or are you, or not really? And they may just say, like, not really. And you're like, okay, great. Thanks. It's been a, you know, pleasure to connect with you. And then that's that. And if they say, tell me more, you can just say, like, you know, well, this is when it starts. This is, you know. And with the tell me more in the details, go light. You guys, go light on your details. And if they want more information on any of those details, go deeper. But keep it light, and you'll notice that they'll ask questions, and they'll often sell themselves just because of you deeply listening and knowing what kind of value you can deliver. So, yeah, you know, because often people are like, oh, I don't want to be in this course, or I don't like the title of this course, or like, that's not a good time for me. It's like their mind, because they're overwhelmed. They've already got too much going on. They're living in an acidic body, you know, or whatever. You know, there's going to be excuses that come up. So instead, you're just like even taking those out by not announcing that you have another workshop coming up in class, but just that you're inviting people who are sensing they want to go deeper on their journey, on their personal journey, to have a conversation with you.
I wanted to just link in to the point you made about your current business model maybe causing, or I forget the exact words you used, but creating a plateauing of your students' transformations because the limit of the model. And
yes.
That really, really hit home with me because being a teacher for so many years now, and my only point, and this is my limitation at the time, thinking you keep nudging students to create a home practice, and the reality is that they're not. And so week after week after week, I just got to a evolution in my own growth that it wasn't satisfying anymore. I couldn't create the opportunities for stepping in deeper in the model I had. So just what you just described, like offering that conversation opportunity, that's a shift. To just take out of that frontline, you know, weekly class paradigm, which has its amazing merits, but at some point, you know, I have students who've been with me a decade, and they're definitely plateauing in that model. So that was really helpful to look at the business model in terms of growth opportunity for myself as well as, you know, who I'm serving.
Yes, good, good. I am so glad to hear it. That was, this is really big, you guys, because a lot of us, we don't realize that we're mimicking models because it's just like, it's just what everyone else is doing. It's like we're often not conscious to the worldview we're in because we're in it. It's the same thing is true about the model, our business model that we're engaged in, our business strategies that we're engaged in. It's like until you can see them as a strategy, you can't see them objectively. And then to see what the benefits to your clients are and what the, you know, the harm or what the, you know, the plateaus in this case are to your students to look at that really objectively too. And what we often will find is that as we switch models, we start to see like, oh, there's a place for the public yoga class. It's just not what I thought it was. Like the place for the public yoga class is a lead generation tool. It's an awesome lead generation tool. And you can attract people who you want at the back of the, you know, the end of your funnel in through the opening of your funnel if you start to use the public yoga class as a lead generation tool. When you use it that way and you have a strategy and what the upsells are, of like, how do they get from that into an inner circle group? How do they get from a public yoga student into a mastermind group? You know, and is there, what are the intermediary steps in there? And what's the accelerated route? Maybe there's both. And then what's the highest price point, you know? Like, and how many people from the public yoga class do I want to get into my highest price point offering? A year, and then a season, and then, you know, a month. And then what's my strategy around doing that? And I just want to say, when we start to do this, if we're transitioning businesses, 90%, and I'm going to pull a statistic out of thin air, it does not exist at all, but what I'm trying to say is like most of the people from your past business model will not come with you, and you can't worry about it too much because you're still offering them what they want. They want a public yoga class.
Including staff.
But you, including staff.
Totally. Honestly, I've had a total, I think I heard this on one of your guest speakers, that when you change to a different model or you grow to a new growing edge, the current staff you had isn't mirroring that. And honestly, I've gone from 8 staff to, I'm down to 2. They're leaving for different reasons, but it's a shift going on, and it's making space for folks to come in who are resonating with the vision. So that was a little nervy, like the drive burning out, but you know, I'm trusting the bigger picture here and that the right people are going to attract and come in. But yeah, it's not just the students that won't resonate, it's the current staff that you have.
Yes, it's true. Yeah, it's totally true. And then, you know, there's certain things you can do, you know, especially for income and keeping, you know, you do want to keep some stable income around the transformational process. So just knowing, like, how can I reassure the people that are coming from the public yoga class that that's going to remain exactly the same if that's what they really need, right? If that's what they need to hear to keep coming to a public yoga class. And they've built this trust and whatnot. And you can give them what they need so they can keep coming to yoga class and you can maintain your income from them. And you can say, and there's going to be some other things going on around here which might not resonate with you, and that's fine because I'll still be your public yoga teacher. You know, and you can go in, you know, and you can just be really straightforward with them. Like, this is awesome. You know, this is part therapy. This is part wellness. This is part community. And remind them of exactly what they're getting, and leave it at that. And in the nicest, you know, most caretaking possible way, because they're probably coming for those reasons. And then you're just also in your own awareness. You're making space and you're doing all of the action steps that are bringing your business to the next level. And then with staff too, and it is trust, so yes, but then that's the, you know, the feminine. And then there's also the masculine of like, what copy is going to attract the right person into this job? And just being really specific so that the copy you use, and when you write copy out, you change your matrika. So then when you, you know, even say it word of mouth, I'm looking for a business savvy, you know, yoga teacher who works with elderly, you know, whatever. Like, you kind of pre-thought the text, like you've copywritten it so you can articulate it. And being very specific so that when, you know, so that there's something for someone to be attracted to, that there's an energy, a matrika, a sound vibration for someone to be attracted to. And even having that on, you know, put it on your site. You guys, my yoga studio was for sale a while ago. I don't think there's anywhere on my site that says it, but it's still coming up in Google searches, yoga studio for sale. So I'm still getting like emails from people. This is the power of Google in search engine optimization. I search engine optimized that page, and so I'm still getting hits on it. People are like, tell me, you know, they're attracted to the words that I posted, is what I'm trying to say. There's keywords that I posted in that. So say you have a page on your site, which is that you're hiring yoga teachers, and maybe you're hiring for two yoga teachers, and you have it listed like, this is exactly what I want these people to be like. These are the skills that you need, and this is all on matrika. This is all copywriting, exactly what you want, and this is the application process. You should start getting resumes. When I, because I had this on the Yoga Healer site, yeah, it was on the Yoga Healer site and the Yoga Tejas site when I had the studio, so we had an intern position. I would receive intern applications about every 2 weeks without putting any, that was just via Google searching. It was just a, you know, I just did the right keywords on the page. There's on every WordPress page, you can put in your keywords. You put in your keywords, you know, you're in Massachusetts, you're hiring, hiring a yoga teacher. And you might go to Google Keywords or Keyword Spy and, or, yeah, you know, Google Keyword Tool. It's going to be better. If you go in there and you type in hiring yoga instructor, they're going to give you some other keywords that people are searching for. And then, you know, put it out there and then do you have a, you don't have a blog. You don't have a blog?
Blog spot.
What's your blog?
Not active.
Okay, you should have an on-dated blog that just says some of your, just start to talk to your students, just like I said to Susan. That would be, for the, you know, 2014, I don't want to put too much on you, but like 2014. First update your workshops page and make it easier for people to see what the next live workshops are. Oh, yeah, because there's stuff there from the past, that archive, it shouldn't come
That's
up as an archive, it should just come up as what's next. But yeah, I mean, but back to that conversation. Does that larger just make sense? Of putting out there who you want to attract.
When I kind of grow in my own consciousness, like things clear out, they clear out pretty abruptly, you know. And then there's this vacuum created, and then people walk in. So one of the nice things is through the detox course I did in October, one of the participants at the end of the 4 weeks asked me if I was interested in a teacher. And she's perfect. She's perfect for the frontline teaching. So that's been a great avenue, too, because the courses are attracting the people that are doing the personal work, you know, or living their yoga practice or continuing to grow. So, but yeah, I haven't ever advertised for a teacher. It's been amazing in 10 years. I've always just come in. But maybe
awesome.
It's time to get specific about that.
I would, because I didn't know, like even in our intern process, like I didn't realize how tech savvy a person I wanted until I wrote down exactly what I wanted. And I'm like, this person has to be amazing with social media. I'm not taking an intern to run a local business that's not amazing with social media. We got, you know, the next intern we got was so amazing with social media. She grew this whole Facebook presence for our little local business and like totally kept it running the whole year. I mean, it was just on it and commenting with people and brought in this whole other level of interaction around our community. So I really do, because, you know, it's really easy to get in mythic magic thinking around like, oh, this person appeared, they're perfect, instead of being like, wait, they have no social media skills and my business needs that right now. I'm not saying your girl isn't perfect. She probably, you know, like, but there's just, it's a different kind of an exercise.
Yeah,
you know?
Makes sense.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Great.
Kate.
Well, thank you, Anne. Thank you. And thanks, everyone who I know it really is like laser coaching, where sometimes you feel like there's a little intensity around the process. But I know from feedback from you all that everyone gets a lot out of, you know, stepping into the heat. I just want to say happy holidays to everyone, and I believe we have one more call before we go maybe totally into shutdown mode for a little while. But I just want to wish you all the best, and I look forward to connecting more on the Facebook forum. I'm going to go ahead and unmute the lines. Goodbye.
Happy solstice.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye, Anne.